This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Thursday, July 15th. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. It's always a joy to be with you once again. Thanks so much for joining us on this, the Feast of Saint Bonaventure, the Franciscan bishop and doctor of the church known as the Seraphic Doctor. Saint Bonaventure once said, "The Mass is a compendium of all of God's love, all of His benefits to men, and each Mass bestows on the world a benefit no less than what was conferred on it by the Incarnation." Powerful, powerful words to remind us of the value of every single Mass. Now, on Thursdays, we also remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist by our Lord Jesus on Holy Thursday. In case you missed it, last night in Game 4 of the NBA Finals, Chris Middleton scored 40 points, including 10 down the stretch as the Milwaukee Bucks beat the Phoenix Suns 109-103 to tie the finals at two games apiece, as heard on ESPN.
Chris Paul falls down and lost the ball.
And you've got numbers right now if you're the Bucks.
Holiday, Middleton, inside, he banks it home. Timeout, Phoenix. This building is shaking.
Exciting moments. Game 5 of the NBA Finals on Saturday night in Phoenix. Our number, 888-914-9149. If you want to be part of the program, that's 888-914-9149. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll be joined by Marquette Professor of Theology, Father Ryan Duns, to discuss how he helps students during the pandemic and ways to manage and cope with stress. A little bit later, Monsignor James Shea, the president of the University of Mary, will tell us why, as Catholics, it's important to go on a retreat at least once a year. And Catholic high school theology teacher Maria Pablo will talk to us about what are today's teenagers searching for. We'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that and much more coming up this hour here on Morning Air. We always start every day and every hour giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every single morning here on the show whenever we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This is a powerful exhortation by St. Paul. We need to rejoice, to be people of joy. Joy is the infallible sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We also need to pray all the time. And it doesn't have to be long, long formal prayers. A very simple short prayer like, "Jesus, I trust in you." Or the Jesus prayer, "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner." And of course, if you want to pray and give thanks to the Lord Jesus through the eyes of His Mother Mary, pray the Holy Rosary. It's the prayer of the gospel. We always finish up praying, "Jesus, I trust in you." Again, I want to remind you of yet another great reading opportunity for you during these summer months, during these vacation months. We have a new Relevant Radio book called Treasures of the Rosary, Reflections by Those Who Pray It Daily. This book will be offered at relevantradio.com/treasures. It's absolutely free. There's no shipping or handling charges, but there is a catch. It's only for a limited time. This free book is a compilation of reflections on the Rosary chosen by our very own Relevant Radio CEO, Father Rocky, including Mysteries of St. Jose Maria Escriva, St. John Paul II's Apostolic Letter on the Rosary, a 54-day Rosary Novena, Reflections, and How to Pray the Rosary, and much, much more. Sign up for your free copy at relevantradio.com/treasures. And of course, don't forget to join Father Rocky for the Family Rosary across America with all your prayers and petitions. 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio, the Relevant Radio app, and relevantradio.com. Our number, 888-914-9149. Now, I want to talk about the pandemic and what we've all lived through for nearly the last year and a half. The pandemic was especially hard on kids and young people. How did college students deal with the pandemic? How have they managed to cope with stress? A recent report came out that 93,000 people died of drug overdoses in the U.S. in just last year in 2020 alone. That number is absolutely staggering. Now, joining us is Father Ryan Dunn, assistant professor and assistant chair of theology from Marquette University. He works at the intersection of philosophy and systematic theology. Good morning, Father Ryan. Welcome to Morning Air. It's great to be with you. I hope you enjoyed our Irish gig tune for you.
Good morning, and thank you. That is a blast from the past.
Oh, yes. We know that music is one of your other loves other than theology.
This is true. That tin whistle, those tin whistles are older than I think all of my students. I've had those since, I think, 1989. I was like a 10-year-old kid playing them, but.
Blast yeah. from the past. Well, Father, we know that you are quite a music lover, and you have a lot of experience using music. I'm sure you've shared that with some of your students. But let's talk about this pandemic. That it's hard to believe we're still talking about it here in mid-July of 2021 with the variant. And it seems like it hasn't totally gone away, although things have gone back much more to normal. How hard was the pandemic for everybody, especially your students at Marquette? What was your experience like, Father?
I have to say, I'm really proud of our students. They arrived in August, you know, under a great cloud. We didn't know how the semester, how the year was going to unfold. They were under stress. They rose heroically and admirably to the challenge. They maintained their social distance for the most part. Their classroom participation, I was blessed to teach in person both semesters. And I found the students amenable. They were grateful to be in person. But as you can anticipate, it came at a cost. And we saw some of the fractures and the fissures in their spiritual and mental health becoming really apparent as the year unfolded. And Marquette, like many universities, did a great job in marshaling resources and trying to meet our students' needs. I mean, that's, you know, the Jesuit motto for its education, cura personalis, this deep care, not just for the person in general, but for each individual person, trying to meet that person's needs where he or she is at. And I think Marquette did a really, really wonderful job of doing that.
Father Ryan, what percentage of the student body actually showed up in person? Can you talk about what the typical day was like during this pandemic at Marquette?
You know, it's hard to say. We were able, through the adaptability of our faculty, to offer a hybrid schedule. So there were classes that were fully in person, classes fully online, and some classes that were a hybrid of online in person modes. So one day of the week you might be at home or from your dorm room. But by and large, it seemed like we had a fairly significant population of students here on campus. I don't know that all of them, or many of them at all, had fully in-person instruction. But what that did is our kids had a lot of social anxiety. I found social anxiety going through the roof. And one of the benefits of being a Jesuit priest at Marquette is that I live on campus. And it became part of my, what I saw as my informal ministry to do long walks with students. And so I made it known to all the young men and women that I teach, hey, look, if you're struggling, if you're, you know, you're really grappling with these issues, you have no one to talk to, you can contact me at any time, day or night, and we will go for a walk. I am looking right now at my shoes. I bought new shoes in December, right after Christmas, and I've worn through the heels on the right and the left foot from the amount of walking I did. Some weeks I do about 70,000 to 80,000 steps just with students, talking things out, praying with them, listening to them, letting them know that they weren't alone. So, you know, when they're masked up and they're isolated from family, from friends, travel is much more difficult. The usual ways we socialize have been impeded. Sometimes all they wanted was just to talk. And that was the one gift I could give them. I didn't always have what wisdom to share, but I could often offer an open ear.
Father Ryan, were these long walks and just talking and praying with the students, was that the main way that you were able to help them, or were there any other approaches that you had to deal with during this difficult pandemic time?
And, you know, again, I think being able to draw on Marquette's resources. So we have the Tuesday night mass, historically held at the St. Joan of Arc Chapel, which is really just a gem here in the heart of our campus. So we were able to continue the Tuesday night masses, but not in Joan of Arc because it is so tiny. In the classroom, I taught a class called Contemplation and Justice, and it was a course that introduced the students to the practice of contemplative prayer. I wanted to be a chemist when I went to college, and I loved lab. And I've always secretly resented that theology courses don't have a lab. So when I finally was able to design a course, I designed one with a practical component. So I taught Tuesdays and Thursdays for an hour and 15 minutes. The intensive part of the class, before we did the didactic, academic-y side, we did 15 minutes of contemplative prayer every class. And over the course of the semester, I found, and the students reported both in their formal evaluations and then informal assessments, that this was profoundly impactful. And a number of them reported, you know, going to church in a new, revitalized way. Some trying it for the first time. We had one student who was finishing RCIA and was formally received into the church. But it was a privilege to accompany these young people as they deepened their, you know, their own faiths and came to know who God is, how God calls them in this life, and being a minister of the gospel to help them find the way that the good news of Jesus Christ can touch and inflame their hearts and set them free to be, you know, to find their vocations. And I'm happy to say we have two guys who, both of them are in serious discernment with the Society of Jesus. So it seemed the Holy Spirit, in spite of me, did its work.
Absolutely. And let's talk about using devices, media, being on their computers, sometimes 5 to 8 hours a day. What do you think that this causes to young people, the college students' brains and their well-being? Do you think this contributes to some of that stress that they've been dealing with during the pandemic?
Sure. You know, they use that line, FOMO, fear of missing out. And one of the challenges when all of our news is received through our phones, you know, these very cleverly designed algorithms give us a steady diet of it anticipates what we want to read. I've also found the the other phrase I like in addition to FOMO is called doom scrolling. And it's our tendency to scroll through Twitter or Instagram, and we get attracted to all of the negative news. And so there's this cascade effect that overwhelms all of us, but especially if you're already in a fraught position and all you see is dark, negative news and the world seems to be falling apart all over the place and there's no hope in sight, well, it's sort of like we're inhabiting an episode of The Walking Dead. And what we getting students to look up from their phones, and that's why I like to walk. Walking with this kid, you know, a 4-mile walk all through the city of Milwaukee, they can't be staring at their device. They have to look around them, and they see the world, and they see the lights, and they have to make eye contact. And it sort of jostles them out and into the bigger picture. And they see, all right, things are hard, but there's hope. And to help them to see the beauty of the world around them, to see faces of other people, you introduce them to the humanity of those around them, and it helps to restore their sense of their own humanity. So if the devices at times work against the best impulses and the best side of our human nature, you know, putting them down for a while, I think it's a mini retreat in the everyday life.
We're joined by Father Ryan Duns, assistant professor and assistant chair of theology from Marquette University, talking about how he helped students during the pandemic and some practical ways to manage and cope with stress. Again, Father, the importance of unplugging and just being in the present, living in the now, and not just being brainwashed by the mainstream media and this negative news that you hear day in and day out.
Yeah. You know, and I have to say, with schools like Marquette, I often, as assistant chair, I will get emails from parents. I have been in early in my tenure. It was always, why did my son get this grade, or why did my daughter? She's having a problem with this professor. During the pandemic, I have been touched by the number of parents who have reached out and said, my son, my daughter is really struggling, and they don't know enough, or they're shy and don't want to reach out. Can you help? And it's not just me. I am so proud of, I have colleagues who went above and beyond the call of duty. It's not written into our contracts. Spend time with students, call them, walk with them, get a cup of coffee with them. Most people don't go into the academic world to do that. But at Marquette, I have a number of colleagues who did and gave so generously because they were so concerned with the well-being of our students. And they saw this as part of our formation process of how we could form hearts and minds. You know, Marquette's motto is be the difference. Well, it's not just some bland statement. It's be the difference. Be formed for mission. Be formed to transform the world. And at the heart of that, for many of my colleagues, it is the gospel, and it's a willingness to pour ourselves out in the service of others with the hope that our students will appreciate, be transformed, and go and do likewise. So it really, I think Marquette's one of those places where we can, you see the mission alive and well.
Father, how did you encourage your college students to rest properly, to get plenty of sleep, perhaps in addition to going to walks, doing some exercise, just rest so that they could better deal with this stressful time during the pandemic?
I had a great professor, Dan Harrington, Father Dan Harrington at Boston College, who said when he was a young scholar, he was a very prolific writer, that he felt this pressure always to be working every day. And at some point he realized that working on Sundays was negatively impacting not only his academic, but his spiritual life. And so he encouraged and he adopted for himself the practice of doing no work on Sundays. I would regularly push or encourage the kids as best as possible to let Sunday be a day of rest. Find that whatever, you know, not every kid was going to church. I would encourage them to go to Mass, but for the, you know, or to church if they were not Catholic. But to find a way of reconnecting and reintegrating themselves on Sundays. And that would mean maybe you have to work harder on Saturday during the day, but then you have the whole of Sunday to have for yourself and to make that a holy day. That's not being, you're not being pulled in 1,000 different directions, but find this where your center is. In the Christian tradition, we believe that our God is the one who liberates us. And I want, and I always hope that my students in their encounter with God find this freedom, find this liberation from the things that tear them apart, a God who creates and is always trying to knit us back together. So, kids, go to the gym. Make sure you get a full night of sleep. A great night is not a binge drinking bacchanal. It is instead get a good night of sleep and rest, do your reading, and try to have some spiritual practices, which is why I talk contemplation, because if I can give, we can equip them with skills and discernment, with a practice of contemplative prayer. You know, it has lifelong benefits. It's not just something we do in the course. It becomes something we adopt and live out for the rest of our lives. And as a teacher, that's my hope.
Well, Father Ryan, we're going to have to leave it right there. You can find Father Ryan Duns on Twitter at DunsSJ. Father Ryan, thank you so much for encouraging your students at Marquette to be the difference. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for you and your ministry.
Thank you. Father Ryan Duns, assistant professor and assistant chair of theology from Marquette University. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Monsignor James Shea, the president of the University of Mary, will tell us why, as Catholics, it's important to go on retreat at least once a year. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
28 minutes after the hour, as Morning Air continues, I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up on the show this half hour, Catholic high school theology teacher Maria Pablo will talk to us about what are today's teenagers searching for. Now, how many of you go on a retreat at least once a year? For many of us, going on a retreat has been very difficult during the pandemic, but why is it important for our spiritual growth to go on a retreat? I know for me, it's been a while since I've been on a retreat, especially because of the pandemic. Studies show that the most significant factors for personal happiness is relationships with other people. And what personal relationship could be more important than our relationship with God, our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ? That's why the church recommends annual retreats for the faithful. Now joining us to discuss why it's important to go on a retreat at least once a year is Monsignor James Shea, the president of the University of Mary and a regular contributor to Morning Air. To learn much more about the University of Mary, visit cometomary.life. Monsignor Shea, welcome back to Morning Air. Great to be with you once again.
John, always great to be with you, too. How are things for you today?
Doing well. Counting my blessings every day. It's hard to believe today, and here on the 15th of the month, it's been 6 weeks since I took over this show, and so far, the Holy Spirit has been directing every step of the way.
You're doing a great job, John. You're keeping us all awake in the morning, and that's what matters. Thank you.
Hey, as long as the alarm clock goes off, Monsignor, all is well. Let's talk about the importance of retreats. You know, we know that families plan their annual vacations to relax and reset. In fact, I'm going on vacation in a couple of weeks. We've been planning it for a long time. How can we make sure that we do the same thing and reset our faith and our spiritual life?
Yeah, so talking about this question, you know, we talked just a moment ago about being awake, waking up, and Jesus all through the Gospels encourages, in fact, commands his listeners, his disciples, that we shouldn't be drowsy, that we should wake up. And he doesn't mean they're just a physical tiredness. He means that our spirits and our souls also have to be refreshed. And that's so important. And this is a great time for us to be talking about this topic. It's a great day for us to be talking about this topic. And it's a great time for me to offer a word about it for two reasons. First of all, because of the daily readings at Daily Mass today, which I think give us the sort of theological basis for making a retreat and going on retreat. And it's a good time for me to talk about it because I'm actually in New Ulm, Minnesota all week long, offering a directed silent retreat to the Handmaids of the Heart of Jesus, which is a relatively new religious order dedicated to diocesan life. So they're beautiful sisters, and I'm with them at this retreat. And so I've been thinking about this topic quite a lot as I'm offering this retreat for the sisters. But let's take a moment just to look at these readings today. And so the first reading, of course, is that famous passage from the book of Exodus where God reveals his name to Moses. The bush that Moses sees in the desert is burning, but it's not consumed. Now, that's very interesting because it's not unusual in a dry place like the desert to think of something catching on fire. But the bush is burning, and yet it's not consumed. That's what attracts Moses' attention. The thing is on fire, but it's not burning up. And that's the nature of God. You see, we who are made of frail flesh can get burnt up. Because of our efforts, even our strivings to love and to serve God, even in our work to raise our families well and to do a lot of good in our communities, even in that, we can become burned up. And so God draws near, and he receives the name of God. God says to him, "I am who am." Notice that God reveals himself not as the one who does all kinds of wonders, who works all kinds of miracles, who's effective and impressive, the God of majesty and glory and great feats. God is who is. It's a matter there of being over doing. And of course, we hitch our identity so much to doing that we forget that, first of all, God created us to exist in his glory, in his service. And it's important for us to remember that this whole episode takes place. Moses receives this word from God in the context of his people being bitterly oppressed in slavery. You see the connection, right? In other words, the people of Israel are in slavery in Egypt. They don't have time to do anything except build the pyramids, except make bricks, except work and labor all day long. No time for friendship, no time for family, no time for worship, and God wants to set that right. And so I love this question about retreat because it's a chance for us to focus upon being rather than doing. And sometimes we need to do that. We need to step in out from the fray, out from the wind, and allow God to gaze upon us and for us to gaze upon God. If we don't do that, we burn up.
Monsignor Shea, I love the image of Moses in front of the burning bush. In fact, I remember, I think it was last year, I was watching the Ten Commandments on television, and it was brought to life in very powerful Hollywood fashion with Charlton Heston. And as I was watching that scene, I couldn't help but think of the Blessed Sacrament. I thought to myself, what Moses was face to face with is the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Trinity right before him, although he didn't realize it. But we today who have the fullness of revelation, that we know that it is our Lord Jesus Christ inside that tabernacle, inside the monstrance. And so I'm sure that this is a very important part of a silent retreat to be able to meditate in front of our Lord.
Yeah, so moving from the first reading then to the gospel, it is Jesus. It is the Lord present in the Blessed Sacrament. He says in the gospel today, "Come to me, you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. That promise is very beautiful. He doesn't say, "I will give you relaxation." He says that I will give you rest, which is a restoration of our inner being. And that's what God calls us to do. So even if we can't get away for an 8-day retreat, so priests and religious are required by canon law to take a retreat once a year. In other words, the church demands that we take time for our spiritual life once a year. And the church recommends to all people to find a time at least once a year to go away, to find some silence, to find some rest, to find some prayer. But what you said, John, is so important, because even in the midst of our daily lives, and maybe especially in the midst of our daily lives, each of us need to find moments of retreat. And so when we can steal away with the Lord, to be with him in the Blessed Sacrament, when we can sit in the silence of an adoration chapel or a church and allow him to gaze upon our hearts and to give us the rest that he promises, because we're weary and we find life burdensome, because we're beginning to be singed, you know, at the corner of our garments, at the corner of our lives, because we're burning up instead of on fire with him. That's so important. And so the burning bush for us is the tabernacle. It's being with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And that means that if you're on retreat, you spend hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament. If you're in your daily life, you find time anyway to get away and to be with him. You can take a 10-minute retreat every day of the week.
Monsignor Shea, and we're talking to Monsignor James Shea, the president of the University of Mary, and of course a regular contributor here to this show, about the importance of taking a retreat at least once a year. Can you talk about some of the elements that you think are the most helpful for making a good retreat?
Oh, absolutely. So number one, I think, is silence. Silence is utterly important. We live in a world which is full of noise, which is chock full of all the things which distract us. And distraction, noise, has a way of moving our attention away from what's most important, what's essential, to the things which are superfluous, which are on the surface. And because of our fallen nature, because of the sin which has wounded us, we would live our whole lives on a surface level, just thinking about daily and momentary pleasure, thinking about the temptations that afflict us on a daily basis, thinking about old resentments and hurts, and pursuing those things which aren't truly essential. And silence, as Cardinal Serra reminds us in his book, The Power of Silence, silence is something which the modern world has lost as we're drawn into iPads and phones and emails and computers and Zoom, and we never find a place for us to be restored internally. So silence is absolutely essential. The Holy Eucharist, as we talked about just a moment ago, the presence of Jesus among us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, is profoundly important in order for us to be able to enter into that place of revelation, that place of God. And by the way, that personal revelation is one of the things that happens on retreat. God tells us things about our life that we otherwise could never find out. There are things that we can't, we're like, I got to figure out my life. I got to figure out my life. Young people at the University of Mary are always nervous about figuring out their vocation. But a vocation isn't something to figure out. It's something to be received. It's the same with our lives. Our lives aren't meant to be figured out. They're meant to be received. And we can do that in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. Oh, John, I think about confession, about the power of the cleansing spirit of God's mercy and his love poured out upon our misery. When we gather up all the miseries of our lives and we're able to bring them to confession, that's something that's essential during a retreat, but also it's another opportunity, just like we were talking about a second ago, to go on retreat all the time. When we go to confession every month or every week, periodically, with frequency, then the Lord is able to restore us to new life. And then we of course, need to have the scriptures close at hand. God's word is where we find the new life and the new light, which comes from making a good retreat. And then it's good to bring along. It's good not to take on retreat like 10 books and say, now finally I can do some reading and get through all 10 books. But having a book or two that we can spend some time with, spiritual reading, the lives of the saints, the writings of the saints, other great spiritual books. I love the writings of Father Jacques Philippe, is that he's amazing. And then staying close to the Blessed Mother would be another element. Mary is the one who accompanies our hearts into deeper union with her Son. And so having Mary close by and deep within our hearts during the course of a retreat is a fail-safe for us too.
Monsignor, we have less than a minute to go. Just a quick word on how we can encourage young people about the spiritual benefits of going on retreat.
Yeah, so we do this at the University of Mary all the time. You know, our students don't realize that university life is a time of leisure. They think that they're hard at work. And you and I laugh at them, John, because we know that they'll never have as much rest and leisure for the rest of their lives.
Oh, yeah.
You know, think about a college student who's able to just to spend time with friends and go to the dining center and read and be engaged in great conversations. But we tell them that at that point in their life, when they're considering their vocations, it's important for them to make a retreat. And, you know, the powerful conversions happen for young people. I used to do high school work when I was a high school chaplain. I take my students on retreat once a year and direct them, and they'd be like, I don't want to go on retreat. But on the retreat, oftentimes powerful conversion would happen. And so we're always encouraging our young people, high school students, college students, or anybody really, and this is the encouragement of the church, anybody who's needing to rediscover that youth and vivid vibrancy of God's life to go on retreat. And then just to provide all of those elements that we were talking about before so that God can do his work. God is the director of every retreat. I'm with these sisters this week, and I'm providing spiritual direction for them, but mostly I'm trying not to get in the way, because God has a plan for every human life, your life, my life, the life of every single one of our listeners. And in the midst of our daily lives, sometimes it's hard to hear his voice. And so we have to steal away to be with him in silence and to find out the meaning and purpose of our lives. And God is generous then. He's extravagant in his lavish love, and he won't hold back on us. He'll tell us.
Well, Monsignor Shea, thank you so much for taking the time from your retreat with the sisters, for joining us and to talk about the importance of annual retreats. Many blessings to you.
I love being with you, John, and I'm praying for you and all of our listeners as I continue to accompany these sisters on retreat. God bless you.
God bless you. Thanks so much. Monsignor James Shea, president of the University of Mary, regular contributor to Morning Air. To learn much more about the University of Mary, visit cometomary.life. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, you'll meet Catholic high school theology teacher Maria Pablo, who will talk to us about what are today's teenagers searching for. Don't change that dial. There's much more to come here on Morning Air as the show continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
47 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on a Thursday. I'm John Morales with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up a little bit later this half hour, we're going to have another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now let's talk about teenagers in this day and age. As a parent of a 13-year-old son, this is an issue that really hits home. Do you ever wonder, what are today's teenagers searching for? And could Catholic social teaching be the answer for today's teenagers? Joining us now is Maria Pablo to talk about teenagers. Maria grew up in a devout Hispanic Catholic family in South Florida. She holds a bachelor's degree in theology and psychology and a master's degree in theology. Maria has worked in youth ministry for over 15 years, both as a youth minister and as a Catholic high school theology teacher. She's also a Catholic Hispanic speaker. Buenos dias. Good morning, Maria. Thank you so much for joining us. It's good to be with you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's exciting to be here.
Talk to us a little bit about your experience. I know you've had lots of experience working with young people. What do you think that today's teenagers are searching for?
Yeah, I absolutely love working with teens. There's something I feel like so much they're underappreciated and people don't give them the credit they deserve. Yeah, I think at the root of it, teens are looking for the same things everyone's looking for. All adults, and maybe adults don't want to admit it, but we just want to be loved. We just want to be known. We want to be seen. We want to know that our life matters and has value, and that we can make a difference and be encouraged to do so.
From your experience, and you've been working with young people in youth ministry for a long time, and as a high school theology teacher, where do you think today's young people are, especially here in 2021, after being confined, many of them not being able to be in their normal routines during this past pandemic? How much do you think that has affected teenagers today?
A lot. In simple terms, you know, I have been in ministry for a while, and I've kind of seen the pressure increase over the past couple of years, especially with COVID. It was kind of like we learn from each other, and that isolation. For some people, it was good, and it was an opportunity for them. You know, I saw some of my teens come back stronger than ever, but I saw a lot of them, you know, who already struggle with anxiety. It's crazy to look at, but one in three teenagers struggle with anxiety. And those numbers keep rising and rising. And I think when the whole world was put in quarantine, not only was it the stresses of what am I going to study and what am I going to do and my grades, but also added pressure and added anxiety with like what's going on in the world. So it has affected them, but I also think it's given them a different view of, okay, well, what am I doing and how can I improve? And so it's been interesting to kind of meet the needs of people that are struggling and kind of help them to see the good that can come from these difficult situations.
How much did you see your students struggle? What was the experience for you this last year and a half personally?
On like a practical scale, I mean, their grades were a lot lower than usual. It was also half of them were online. You know, I'm in Miami, Florida, and COVID cases were very high here. So learning from online was just a disaster. I mean, they did the best they could, but just that when you're isolated, I mean, and even think about it spiritually, right? Like Satan divides. And so when you're alone and when you're not seeing people, a lot of those struggles can come to the light. And if you're not handling it properly and you're not speaking to people about it, it can be something that can negatively affect everyone.
Totally can relate. I know for my son, he's 13 years old, just finished seventh grade, struggled big time during the few times that he had to be home during a few periods when there were some issues at school with some kids catching the coronavirus. And so they all had to stay home for a few days. But he struggled in those days. But he did much, much better in person. So I'm sure there's a lot of parents that feel the same way. Talk to us about our Catholic faith and the hope that it speaks to young people. How important is our faith to give teenagers a sense of hope?
It's extremely important. I do admit, though, you know, I teach juniors, and the first thing I do the first week of class is ask them why they're Catholic. And if they tell me their parents are Catholic, I kind of jab at them a little bit. You guys are 17, 16 years old. It's time to figure out why you're Catholic, what you believe in. And I think that when we encourage our kids to kind of take ownership of the faith and, you know, not just because, oh, yeah, I'm Catholic because my parents are, but what about the Catholic faith do I love? And why do we, like, learn and what does the church teach? You know, growing up Hispanic, it was very much like we're Catholic and we're Hispanic and that's just who we are, but why? And, you know, I'm very into my faith now because I've doubted and questioned everything the church has said. And so I tell my students, like, if you have questions, if you don't understand something, dive in and understand. And even when it comes to Catholic teaching, like understanding, there's so much stuff going on in the world and they have so many questions and they're watching the news. And even now, currently in Miami, we have all the stuff going on with Cuba and, you know, the majority of people here are Cuban. So, like, bringing to light these difficult issues and encouraging them. Like, the church has a teaching and a reason for even the most difficult situations that we can't understand. Like, God in his goodness through the magisterium has given us the availability to be able to equip ourselves and to speak truth into these areas. So let's go deeper. And I think the more that we can understand, like, those deep desires that you have, God knows and wants to fulfill. through the teachings, through the sacraments, and the more we get that and see that there's a connection between our faith and our everyday life, the more the kids and teenagers will be more understanding and want to dive deeper in.
Maria, I'm sure that many of your Cuban students are passionate about justice, and they see the injustice of what's going on in the island of Cuba. How do you think that Catholic social teaching can touch their hearts as the answer about real justice?
What I love about Catholic teaching is at the root of it, it's very simple. At the root of Catholic teaching, it's just we are created in the image and likeness of God, and we have value. And so we should be uproared, right? Like we should be, you know, when we see an injustice, something in us should be saying something's off. When we look at what's going on in Cuba, in Venezuela, in Haiti, in so many of our countries, right? We should be able to say, this is not okay. And so how can we encourage our kids? Well, I'm just telling them, you're right, this is not okay. So how can we combat that? And at the root of it is just honoring life and valuing life and the way that we speak to one another and the way that we do things and encouraging them right now, currently, and maybe it's because I'm in Miami, but so many of the news feeds on Instagram or whatever is our kids, my students that graduated or whatever, are on the streets and are raising a voice and raising awareness. And even if it's something that seems minor, just encouraging our students to know and our kids to know, but you can make a difference, even in the smallest of ways, because what you're saying is you're standing up for the value of life and that God created us good and has given us the capacity to be his instrument in rebuilding the culture of life.
Maria, as an educator yourself, you've seen how your students are reacting to Catholic social teaching. Do you think that hearing about this, being educated about it, helps them to grow stronger in their Catholic faith?
100%. Because the Catholic faith encourages our students not only to value like other people's lives, but to value our own, to recognize the gift that God has given us. And so many times our teens are put down, sometimes by their own family members. You know, people say jokingly or, you know, they're constantly being compared to their siblings or to other people in the family. And at the root, we want them to understand you have value and God has given you specifically gifts that he's going to give no one else. And what you can do can change the world by simply embracing what the Lord is calling you to do, recognizing those gifts and using them for the greater glory of God.
Maria, we really appreciate you being with us here this morning to talk about this issue and the importance of Catholic social teaching, especially with our teenagers. Thank you so much, Maria.
Thank you so much. And you can learn more about this and Connected. Ascension Presents has a new project that I'm a part of. And it's all about Catholic school teaching. So Connected, Ascension Press, it comes out soon, and that's a great way to really dive into this in a deeper way.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Many blessings to you. Maria Pablo, youth minister, Catholic high school theology teacher. It's now time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Photos by Joseph Mazzella. I don't own a camera anymore. Yes, I know my computer has one and my daughter is constantly taking pictures and filming little movies with her smartphone. I'm talking about those old standalone cameras that we all used to have. I'm even so old I can remember taking a roll of film over a period of weeks, mailing it out, then waiting another 2 weeks to get the pictures back. Half of them were either overexposed by the sunlight or all of us had red eyes in front from the flash on the camera. I could also remember when we finally saved up enough money to get a Polaroid camera. It was a joy clicking the camera and having a photo ready in only a minute. Even then, we only used it on special occasions. These days, everything seems to be filmed, saved, and posted online. Wonder why that is. Maybe part of it is we all want to stop, freeze, and preserve these moments in time that fly by so fast. I know sometimes I do. Just the other day, I was looking through some dusty old photo albums from my childhood. In one, there was a picture of me just a few years old, laughing and playing in my front yard. How I longed to go back in time to that moment to see my mom's smiling face and be held in my Nana's loving arms once more. Still, I know this moment does live on in my heart, and one day we'll all be together again. The truth is, as hard as we try, we can't stop time. We can't freeze it. We can't film it. We can't post it online. All the photos in the world can't keep it in place. Perhaps it's best then to really live our lives instead of just filming them. Perhaps it's best to smile with joy instead of smiling for photograph. God, after all, only gives us so many days here on earth. We need to spend them loving each other. We need to spend them helping each other. We need to spend them in the light of God, not the light of a camera. Isaiah 46:9, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me.
Thanks so much, Glenn. And of course, you can download every episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Just go to the podcast at relevantradio.com. Coming up next hour, we'll be joined by His Excellency Bishop Donald Hying, the Bishop of Madison, Wisconsin, who will join us to talk about the theological meaning of pilgrimage and its impact during this year, 2021, the Holy Year of St. James. And Dr. Jonathan Sanford, the President of the University of Dallas, will be with us to discuss cultivating virtue through a vigorous Catholic liberal arts education as a means to rebuilding our culture. There's much more to come here in the next hour on Morning Air. Stay with us. You're listening to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.